When I was evacuated, I was declared dead. Yeah, I was brought back from the dead on the back of a helicopter, you know, nearly 12 years later, here I am. And I always think to myself, if I gave up in the beginning, if I started drinking, doing drugs, got fat, didn't stay healthy, was selfish, angry, bitter, hated the world, what kind of a message am I sending to those people that saved me?
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, Create Your Career. This is conversation number 116. And as you already know, I'm absolutely excited that you're here with me for yet another episode. Today's guest was a guest that I've been looking forward to for a long time. I'm absolutely honored to have him. My guest today is the former Royal Marine, Mark Ormerod. Now, we had a phenomenal conversation. I had so many questions, and what we did talk about is mentorship, and he gave a great answer on mentorship because, as we are well aware, the doctors told him that he would never walk again amongst a multitude of other things. So he sought out a mentor, and his life changed dramatically after that. So just based on that alone, this conversation is phenomenal. We also talked about why he chose to join the Royal Marines. We talked about his book, Man Down, and his up-and-coming book that will be out before too long, and a multitude of other just great things. Remember, you can find this conversation and all the other contemplations on christophlewis.com/podcast or on your most favorite podcast listening app. You can find me on Instagram at Christoph Lewis. I did want to say, before we get into this episode, Mark was in the UK for this recording, and I was here in the East Coast of the United States. We had a little bit of sound difficulty in the beginning. I was able to fix it. So the first couple minutes is a little dicey, but still not too bad. It's a great conversation, and I was able to resurrect a lot of it. So have no fear. This is yet another badass conversation with another phenomenal human being, and I cannot wait to share this with you. So without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Thank you, and it's my pleasure.
Yeah, I've really looked forward to this. I really appreciate you being flexible. I know that it's really hard to get together when you're across the ocean. You're obviously across the Atlantic over in England right now, and I'm here in the East Coast in the United States. I think it's really cool to have the technology and be able to like knock out things like this. And like I said before, I'm really looking forward to speaking with you, learning more about you and all the ways that you're contributing and like just really making a positive impact in the world. So I just want to say again, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you please, before we get into the depths of what the podcast is, just tell us a little bit more about yourself, just a little synopsis.
So as you just mentioned, I'm from the UK. I am a former Royal Marines Commando. So for 10 years, straight out of school at 16. And
wow.
On Christmas Eve, 2007, nearly 12 years ago now, when I was deployed to Afghanistan, I was out on a routine foot patrol, and on the way back into base, as we were about to give cover for another section of guys we were working with, I stood on and detonated an improvised explosive device, which resulted in me having both my legs amputated above the knee and my right arm above the elbow.
There's absolutely no good way to take from that, except that which is of your life right now, which... that was a terrible thing that you experienced, and that's why we're talking right now, because of all the things that I've seen you, I've been following you for a little while, and just all the things that I've seen you do is incredible, because I want to say, obviously you got a lot of good stuff online, but I wanted to specifically for some of the listeners here, one of the reasons I wanted you on here is during your recovery, the doctors told you that you'd never walk again, and essentially you should just prepare for a life of not doing anything. And I believe it's been at least like 10 years now that you haven't even touched a wheelchair. And then you're just going out there and you're crushing life. You're motivating others. You're inspirational speaking. You're authoring books. And you're just making a positive impact and doing a lot of things that people like this doctor wouldn't expect of anybody. And a lot of people would just sit back and just take life and take the check or whatever and just not do anything. What was that like mindset for you? Obviously, experiencing that was tragic. But like, what clicked in your head or what made you decide that you're not going to live that life of stagnation and you're going to go out there and you're going to make your life better and make an impact in the world?
I think I've always believed that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're an expert or not on a certain subject. When someone tells you something, they may have a lot of knowledge in that area. But really, in a lot of situations that I've been in, this is only people really giving me their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, based on their expert knowledge. And when this doctor came into my room and said to me, "You'll never walk again," in his 30 plus years of experience, that was the opinion that he had formed based on previous people that he dealt with.
Sure.
Now, I'm very aware that we're all very lucky to live in the day and age that we do live in. And like you said earlier, me and you are now on two opposite sides of the planet talking to each other via mobile phones, webcams, that kind of stuff. And so when he told me that, you know, I thought, well, maybe you're not aware of the world we live in right now, the technology that's available. So I'm going to go do some research and I'm going to find out what my options are. And then I'm hopefully going to prove you wrong with a bit of hard work and determination after you set myself a few goals. And that's what I did. I went out there and I found out that there were prosthetic limbs available, which could give me independence. They could take me away from life in a wheelchair. They could give me 90% of my old life back. And because I had that option, that's the one I took. I pursued it, you know, and then I went down and figured it all out as we went.
Yeah, I love that. I love that's why you have like the no limits. And it's so great that you bring up the limitations that other people perceive based on their own experiences in their life, especially in the medical field, because I think a lot of times we take for granted or we just assume that those people, based on their own prerequisites, we assume that they know exactly what's going on and essentially what they say is the truth no matter what. So it's really cool to take away already from this conversation that you went out there, you did your own due diligence, and you didn't settle for the opinion of just one person. And then now we're having this conversation, like you said, and you've done all of these other things. So I think that's incredible. Like I said in the beginning, I love that people go out there and they do something for themselves and you got yourself out of this rut, but equally important that you've gone out there and you've helped other people as well. And I think it can be really hard to differentiate that because you can be so focused on yourself, but I love that you're able to go out there and help other people. So before we get into all of that, I want to kind of digress and ask about, like, why did you initially choose the Royal Marines? Like, why did you choose to get into the military? And I want to understand your mindset, because it sounds like you're in for, you said 10 years, and I kind of want to know your mindset before you wanted to start that career.
Well, what happened was when I was about 15 and a half and I was coming to the end of my compulsory education, I just had like a epiphany one day, and I thought, in about 6 months' time, I'm going to finish school and then I need to make a decision. Do I go on to further education, go to college, go to university, and gain more qualifications, or do I go out into the big bad world and start a career? Now, I wasn't a bad student. I got very good grades that could have easily carried me on into college, university, but something in my gut told me that I wanted to be out there at an early age, starting a career where I could progress and grow and make a difference. And so I did a little bit of thinking. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. But I knew, you know, I was born in 1983. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and I was a massive action movie fan.
Yeah.
You know, so I wanted to do something which would be testosterone-fueled, alpha male kind of, you know, that kind of career. So I narrowed it down to the police, the fire brigade, and the military. I did a little bit more research, spoke to a bunch of people. I had a lot of friends who were older than me at school that had left and had already joined the army. And so that pushed me towards a career in the military. Now, to start with, as a 15 and a half year old, I just thought that if you want to be a soldier, you join the army. I didn't know who the Royal Marines were. I didn't know there were any other options. So I went down and I got the paperwork because I was so young. I had to get my parents to sign it to join the army. And that's what I was going to do. I was going to join the army and be a soldier.
Huh.
Then I found out that I had an uncle who was a retired Royal Marines captain. And so I arranged a visit to go and see him. He spoke to me about his career in the Royal Marines. I then went back to the recruiting center, spoke to the Royal Marine that was down there, and he showed me a video of what the Royal Marines was about. And I left that place like just, wow. Yeah. You know, these guys jump out of planes, they use boats, they go on these massive long walks with big weights on their back. They can go in the Arctic, the jungle, the desert, the woodland. They do anything, anywhere at the drop of a hat, like the all-round ultimate flexible action man, you know, and that's what I wanted to do. And I just signed straight up, finished my exams, joined straight up. I did a 3-day beat up course when I was 16, joined at 17, finished my training at 18.
Wow. That's really cool. Thanks for sharing that. Absolutely. That's it's incredible because I know you have to be, I was going to say you started like you had those thoughts when you were 15 and a half and then 16, 17. And I'm like, oh man, how early can you join over there? I had no idea, which is pretty funny because I know you have to be 17 to join over here with a waiver for your parents and then 18 to join without that. So I think that's really cool that you had those older friends in the army that kind of guided you towards the military. You could ask them questions. Essentially, what I take from that is that it's good to ask people that are already doing what you're doing. And the reason I ask the questions, why did you join the Royal Marines? Is because a lot of what I focus on as well is people ask me questions on which way to go with their life. And I can't answer that for you, but what I can do is interview people like you. Like, well, what did they do with their life? Why do they go to this direction? Or what I want people to take away from this is to ask other people that are doing things that you want to do. And then, like you said, keep on asking questions. And then lo and behold, you have an uncle that was in the Royal Marines, and then they can give you more information. So just go out there, ask the questions, and look around and figure out what you want, and then slowly start narrowing it down. And that's what I get from your story. And that's why I asked that question. So I appreciate you answering that in that manner.
All right, no problem.
Another couple of things I want to talk about for sure is, like I said, we've mentioned a few times already, is that you very much help other people out. Motivational speaking with your book and a lot of the things that you're doing. So I always like asking the question that, where do you think that stems from? Like, I know that might sound like an obvious question to some people, like, why do you help people? Like, some people are like, why do you ask that question? But I like asking the question to encourage other people to do that as well and see where it stems from, whether it be your childhood, how you were raised, or part of your military career. So my question to everybody always is, why? I know, like, all of us subscribe to this growth mindset and wanting to better ourselves, but why do you choose to spend more of your time and a lot of it pro bono to help other people to pursue this life as well?
So when I joined the military, it was about wanting to be able to stand up for people that couldn't stand up for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good people that were bullied by bad people all around the world, and just do something to help those people that deserved to live a better life. And in terms of, you know, what I do now, it's very easy, and I say this a lot when I speak, it's very easy for me to stand on stage, people to see the finished product and go, wow, you did really well. But then actually there was a prosthetist involved, a physio involved, a doctor involved, a nurse involved, the Royal Marines, friends, family, books, videos, mentors. There's a whole load of people that helped me to get to where I am. And, you know, when you sit and you reflect and you understand that you wouldn't be where, you know, I wouldn't be where I am and most people wouldn't be where they are now if it wasn't for those people behind the scenes that helped them.
Yeah.
Then I don't know how you can't go out and help other people and pay it forward, because that's just selfish.
Yeah.
And people that I know and I see that do have that mentality of, oh, I'm okay, everyone else can just, you know, sit on it.
Yeah.
They don't last very long.
Yeah.
They don't last very long at all.
Yeah.
You know, you got to take people on the journey with you. You've got to, you know, help people on that journey, get them to realize their potential, just like people got me to realize mine.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. And that's why I asked the question, because everybody's answer is so unique. It's so different. And it's incredible hearing you say specifically, like, everybody sees the finished product, you know, like everybody sees it years down the road. Like, I talked to another gentleman who was U.S. Army EOD, Aaron Hale. I'm not sure if you're familiar with him, but I interviewed him recently, and he was hit by an IED as well. He went blind immediately. 4.5 years later, he lost his hearing. So he was deaf and blind within a 4.5 year span. And I asked him, I was like, at that point, you don't know that you're ever going to hear again. Because obviously I recorded with him. He has this electronical device now where you can kind of hear. But I was like, for that point in time, like, you don't know what the outcome's going to be at all. You think you're never going to hear and see again. And that's a very scary place to be. So I asked him about his mindset. So the way I see the similarities with you is, you said people see this finished product after all this help from person after person after person. So medical people, friends, family, and whomever else. I'm sure there's probably hundreds of people, like, easily. I guarantee it. You know? So what I want people to take away is that obviously you don't see the finished product until it's finished. And it sounds so damn obvious, but, like, you got to keep on grinding and go through it. And all the, like, I asked the question, why do you help people? Because people have helped you. And it's as simple as that. You said it yourself, like, pay it forward. And I just really want people to go out there and be able to pay it forward as well. And not just because it feels good, or not just because, you know, you want it to come back to you as well, but pay it forward because it's the right thing to do. And some people really need the help, just like you needed the help. And you're able to be in the position to help other people now because of people helping you before. And I just love that. It's essentially, it's just the circle of life of being able to help other people.
Right. And here's the other thing. You know, I know we're not going to have time to go into my full story, but, you know, when I was evacuated, I was declared dead.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I was brought back from the dead on the back of a helicopter, and, you know, nearly 12 years later, here I am.
Yeah.
And I always, for a long time, thought to myself, again, I won't go into the full story, it was very complicated to save my life. They had to use procedures on me that they'd never done before. Lots of people making very brave decisions in a short amount of time.
Wow.
And I'm here. And I always think to myself, you know, if I gave up in the beginning, if I started drinking, doing drugs, got fat, didn't stay healthy, was selfish, angry, bitter, hated the world, what kind of a message am I sending to those people that saved me?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying thank you to them. I'm just saying, you wasted your time. Why did you do that?
Yeah.
But now I like to live in a way where hopefully, wow, you know, and I know these people, you know, they're friends of mine, and some, yeah, of them are still haunted by that day.
Wow.
And I hope that on the days when they're down and feeling bad, they can click onto Instagram or something and be like, you know what? I did something really good in that life, because what I did that day, you know, this guy is still alive.
Yeah.
I've had two other children since that day.
Wow.
You know, two other human beings are alive because of what those people did for me.
Yeah.
And so it's my way of saying thank you to those people that went above and beyond and brought me back from the dead.
Dude, that's heavy. That's super emotional. And that's real life. Like, that's real. That is real. Only somebody that could have experienced that could say that, because you're right. Those people risked so much to do that, and they've given you your life back. But I love that you said they didn't just give your life back. And now I have a 9-month-old daughter downstairs, and I now know to be able to come back and have more children and be able to, just, so they're not just saving one life. I mean, they're saving a family. They're saving so much. And that I did not know, actually, that you were declared dead. I know there were some, like, risky procedures done on your way back, but I had no idea that you were declared dead. That's super heavy, man. That's crazy. I did want to say, you said you initially joined because you wanted to stand up for people and you wanted to help people. And that answers one of the questions, again, of, like, I asked, why do you want to help people? And so for me, just hearing that, it sounds like you've kind of always been like that. Cause as, like, a 15 or 16 year old, you had that mindset. And I know we're all drastically different, but I tell you what, man, I did not have that mindset when I was 15 or 16 years old. I personally didn't even come into the military until I was 22 years old. And only after I joined the military and served in special forces in NSW did I essentially be forced into not being a selfish individual and wanting to help other people. So that was a little bit different for me, but it's really cool to hear your story and see that you had that mindset before, and that the military positively exacerbated that mindset that you already had. And to me, that's really cool. I want to know, you mentioned mentors just slightly in one of the answers, and you said it with, you had a bunch of people help you to get where you are now. But did you have any specific mentors? And if so, how did you acquire those mentors in your life?
Yeah, I mean, this was crucial to my success. I was actually the UK's first triple amputee.
Wow.
Since I think the Second World War. So there was nobody in this entire country missing three limbs that was out there using prosthetics, which is what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I got online and I started doing some research and I came across a guy in California, a guy named Cameron Clapp.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2002, when Cameron was 15, he was hit by a train and he lost both his legs above the knee and his right arm almost through his shoulder. And I used to watch his videos on YouTube and his website. Yeah. And he was doing all the things I wanted to do. And he made it look so easy. And it was, it wasn't easy at all. But I was like, this is what I want to do. I want to be like this guy. So I reached out to him. You know, I've only got to send an email nowadays. It's so quick and easy. And we became friends.
I love that.
And he started mentoring me. First of all, virtually. He introduced me to his prosthetists and his clinicians and everyone who helped him behind the scenes. They all started helping me. And then on the 9th of June in 2009, I flew out to Oklahoma to meet all these people. And they effectively whipped my ass for 3 weeks solid on like a boot camp.
Yeah.
And Cameron mentored me and he taught me how to use prosthetics, how to get around without my wheelchair, how to drive a car with no adaptive equipment, how to travel, how to, you know, eat and cut food with one hand and all this stuff, you know, using prosthetics. And it was just a 3 week intensive experience where he took me, you know, 9th of June 2009 was the last time I used a wheelchair because of the help that him and his team gave me.
Wow.
And that's how crucial mentoring is to success.
Yeah.
You know, I squeezed down, I think it was at the time, so 7 years of his experience, I squeezed into 3 weeks and just saved myself a hell of a lot of time and heartache just by getting mentored by somebody who had done it.
Wow. Yeah.
You can do it in everything, in fitness, in sport, whatever. Find the best there is, ask them for their help, and then just take all their knowledge and squeeze it into a short space of time.
It's insane for multiple reasons. It's awesome that you sought him out and you used the technology. Like we said, we're using Zoom right now to talk across the ocean. You got on YouTube, you emailed him, called him, do all that stuff and take advantage. Like I always say, social media gets a bad rep. Technology sometimes for whatever reason gets a bad rep. I mean, we know those reasons, but they're tools. Use them for good and you used them for good. You sought him out. You found him. You weren't embarrassed. You weren't whatever to ask him all of these things. Like you were looking for answers and in search of answers and you went out there and you found the answers. And because you refused to listen to the doctor, because you refused to listen to all these people and you went out there and sought your answer and refused to give up, you went out there and you found somebody, which is incredible, that has the same amputations as you and was already doing those things. And I'll tell you, it reminds me again, I'll bring up Roger Bannister in the 4-minute mile and nobody thinking it was possible. And then you see somebody out there and you're like, damn right, I can do it. You know, damn right, I can do it. This guy's doing it. You know, so I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do this stuff. And not only do I know it's possible now, but he knows how to do all this and he's going to teach it to me. And I love that. You gave that metric of 7 years down to 3 weeks, you know, and you're able to be like, that's quite literally what a mentor can do for you. They can show you all of the things that they've learned and they can compile them. And that's like me. I'm a huge advocate of constant knowledge, continued education. And I love reading and that's part of how I get my mentorship is through reading books. So being able to actually go there, take the flight across the ocean, meet with this person in person and just get this, like you said, this boot camp, this crash course of everything that you did is the best way to do it. And it's proven right here. I mean, I can't believe that you had all those limitations from 2002 to 2009 and then 3 weeks just you learn all those things and like, here we are, you said 10 years without a wheelchair and God knows what, I mean, that's probably just the tip of it. And I'm sure a lot of it contributed to a positive mindset. Of course he helped you with the physicality aspects of a few things, but did he help you with the mindset of anything as well?
Yeah, I mean, you have to, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
You can't learn the physical side of it without the mental side of it, you know? So it's not, it wasn't like I spent 3 weeks interviewing him, but I would pick up on things that he would say over the 3 weeks.
Interesting.
And get and try and, I guess, covertly get inside his head and figure out how he thought and how he approached things and how he looked at things and then how he dealt with things.
Sure.
You know, and then I just started to change my thinking a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a magic formula. It's a magic formula.
It is. And I'm sure you were able to give him help as well. I'm sure, like, him, because they always say, like, the best way to get better at something or to learn something is to teach it. So it sounds like he was pretty much the master of the things he was doing, and he was able to teach you. But I, you know, without knowing you all prior to this and knowing him at all, I would say that by him being able to teach you and speak with you and apply both the physicality and the mentality of it, those two aspects as well, I'm sure he was able to gain a lot from that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, the best way to learn is to teach. And I'm sure during that 3 weeks, he maybe would teach me something and then think, oh, maybe if I try it this way. And if it worked, he's like, happy days, that was easier. So, yeah. And that's the thing with prosthetics as well. You know, I'm a full-time prosthetic user. I use them every day.
Yeah.
And every day you're learning. People say to me, you know, how long did your rehab take? And I say, I'll let you know. Because I'm learning every day. Day's different.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a great answer, though. Like, I tell people it doesn't matter what you're trying to get, you know, quote unquote, better at or to learn more. You're always learning. I mean, there's never like an end date of I'm done learning this. Like, literally whatever career you're doing, I believe truly that if you subscribe to a growth mindset internally, just for you, I'm speaking about the individual listener listening to this podcast right now, if you subscribe to a growth mindset, then that is till the day you die, like quite literally. And I'm sure it sounds like that's the same thing for you with the physicality aspect of it. Well, before we get out of here today, though, we could probably spend a whole hour talking about all of your accomplishments, but I did want to talk about Man Down a little bit.
Yeah.
And can you tell me a little bit or tell us a little bit more about the book?
So I was 24 years old when I got injured. I'm 36 now. From about 20 years old, maybe 21, I always thought when I get to about 50, I want to write a book. You know, because I had qualified as a Royal Marine at 18 years old. I had been to Iraq at 19. I was a trained bodyguard at 22. Been to Afghanistan at 24. I spent 6 years working as a nightclub bouncer. So I had all these stories, and I thought, by the time I get to 50, I'm going to have even more, and I'm going to stick them all in a book. Even if it never gets published, I just want to leave it for my kids or someone to pick up in 50 each time. Then when I got injured, because I was the first triple amputee, there was a lot of media interest around it, so I became friendly with some journalists.
Okay.
And in the evening at rehab, you know, all the guys would go and they get the PlayStations out and everything. Because I only had one hand, I couldn't do any of that stuff. And so me and a journalist friend one day said, you know, he said, Jeff, in joking, you know, you should write a book. So I said, funny you say that, because I've always thought about doing that, and now I've got this other story to tell. Do you want to do it together? I didn't know how any of the process worked, and he agreed to be my ghostwriter. So in the evenings at rehab, when everyone else was playing computer games and doing what they were doing, he would interview me.
Nice.
And I would tell him the stories about my life and what had happened to me and all this kind of stuff. He'd write it down, he'd send it back to me. I'd put a few swear words in it, so it was more like I'd written it. And then 10 months later, it was done.
Dude, we got that was awesome.
2009.
That's so cool. For again, a lot of reasons. I feel like a lot of my responses today are like, that's awesome for a lot of reasons, but it's the damn truth. Like, it's awesome because you had this initial goal of 50. And I think it's funny because like a lot of times we set these goals like, oh, there's no way we're going to be able to do that until X day or X year or X time or whatever. And then like, lo and behold, you know, years, over a decade before that, you know, clearly, you're able to do that. And then like, again, with perceived limitations out there, you're still able to, like, there's ways to get shit done is what I'm getting at. Like you collaborated with somebody else that was able to help you.
Yes.
And you're damn right. You have a lot of experiences to put in that book, and I haven't read it yet, but as a lot of the listeners know, I'm reading a book a week for a year. And I definitely want to add it to my reading list and be able to put that out there as well. So I'll be getting that one.
I'm about to finish the second one.
I'm sorry. Oh, are you really?
I should be finished with the first draft of the second book by Christmas.
Ooh, okay. So, awesome. What's that one? Tell us about that one.
So Man Down finishes when I got married, which was May 2009. And it was June 2009 when I went out to America to get mentored. So this new book is going to pick up and talk about a lot of the stuff that we've just talked about.
Okay.
About how I went out, met Cameron, got mentored, you know, and then as soon as I came back is when I left the military. And that's when I started a new life as a civilian. So it's going to cover all of that kind of stuff. The Invictus Games, the documentaries, and all this stuff I've been involved in.
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot about what you're talking about now, growth mindset and stuff.
I love that. And that's so important. And like you had mentioned earlier, like there's no way we can even begin to touch everything that we could talk about. But it's really important to talk about that as well. And a lot of listeners know I focus on career transition. And there's a reason for that, because I speak to a lot of military people, but I speak to a lot of non-military people as well. So whenever you have a career that's your life, and sometimes you can't envision something else, it's really hard to find your purpose after that. Right. So that's one of the reasons that I started this podcast, is to speak with people like you, not to only discuss all of your adversity, but to show that there is life after not only adversity, but there is life after a career. Because I imagine that you probably didn't think that you were going to get out of the Royal Marines after 10 years. It sounds like you may have wanted to make a career out of it. Is that true? Yeah. So the fact that you're able to break that into two separate books, one being Man Down and the one we just talked about, like your journey as a civilian, right? That's very important. And I think there's a lot of things some people take from that. So I think that's a phenomenal book. And that's awesome that you're doing that as well. Before we get out of here today, absolutely. You're very welcome. Before we get out of here, I would love for people to know where they can find that book. Well, the one that's out now, and also where they can find you on social media, websites, and all of that stuff.
So my website where you can get the book from is www.markwarmrod.com. And all my social media handles are just at Mark Wormrod on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, LinkedIn, the lot, YouTube, all of them. I'm all over that.
Nice.
Social media.
I'm all over all that too, but I haven't really tried TikTok yet. How's that working out for you?
Not great.
I had to ask, you know.
I'm dipping my toe in the water with that. It's a little bit of a weird one.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Figuring it out.
Yeah, no, good for you, man. And all of that information, everybody, will be in the show notes. You'll be able to see the website, all the Instagram and all that stuff, even TikTok, and be able to check out the book as well. All right, Mark, thank you so much for your time and this episode. I cannot wait to share it with everybody, and have a great rest of your night.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
See ya.